Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, a special series recorded live at the Paris School of Economics CEPR Policy Forum 2025. My name is Tim Phillips. In this episode, artificial intelligence in low and middle-income countries. If we focus on the cutting edge of AI implementation, as we often do, we're also focusing on a small set of technologically advanced countries. How will AI affect work in the rest of the world? And what should those countries do to prepare? And how can they make the best use of the technology? Giovanni Melina of the IMF is one of the authors of two papers that calculates both the exposure of jobs to AI around the world and the readiness of those countries to meet the challenge of using AI effectively at work. When we met, we discussed the extent of that exposure to AI in emerging markets and developing countries, and the policies that would be most effective to increase their preparedness. Giovanni, when we're talking about the impact of AI on jobs, we tend to mostly talk about it from the point of view of advanced economies. You can understand why, but is it important also to consider the impact on emerging markets, developing economies, and how that might be different?
Yes, it's very important. And in our recent study at the IMF, we looked at the level of exposure to AI and the difference between advanced economies, emerging markets, and low-income countries are quite stark. For advanced economies, we estimate that about 60% of employment is in occupations with high exposure to AI. This number becomes 40% in emerging market economies and less than 30% in low-income countries. What it means is that in advanced economies, there are more immediate risks from employment displacement that may come from AI, but also there is an employment structure that is more conducive for AI to boost productivity and to make a real impact on the economy. For low-income countries, we have fewer immediate displacement risks, but also they may miss the train of productivity if policies don't help shape the ecosystem that allows AI to boost productivity there.
And that's the precise meaning of exposure here. It means that you could be replaced by an AI.
Exposure doesn't mean necessarily that you should be or that you will be replaced by AI. Yeah. What we mean by exposure is the degree of overlap between AI capabilities, so what AI can do, and the type of tasks that are required in certain occupations. But the simple fact that AI can execute certain tasks doesn't automatically mean that the humans in those occupations will be replaced. We make a clear distinction between what we call high complementarity occupations and low complementarity occupations. And by high complementarity occupations, we mean occupations where AI can use as a tool to increase labor productivity. So, for example, if we take judges are a type of worker where AI can really help because judges typically have to digest a lot of text. They have to draft a lot of text. They have to interpret the law. So AI is pretty good at a lot of tasks that judges perform. But at the same time, society is simply not ready yet to simply accept a judicial ruling done by a machine. The judgment that comes in the work of a judge is still critical because human lives depend on it. And so we think that in these situations, AI will probably help judges be more productive and maybe handle more cases in a shorter amount of time. But at the same time, their input will still be critical.
I see, because a lot of us would think that high exposure means low complementarity by definition, but you're saying it's quite possible to have a high exposure high complementarity occupation?
Yes, we can think of, for example, medical doctors, where, again, AI is becoming pretty good at diagnosis, at digesting a vast amount of literature, and then help doctor figure out those pieces of scientific research that are applicable to a specific case. So here, the work of a doctor still in handling the relationship with the patient, in performing their daily task where a human is needed, those will still stay, at least for the foreseeable future, but AI will be a tool to increase their productivity and to equip them with the ability of doing an even better job.
So let's think about the difference between advanced and developing economies. How do these measures of exposure and complementarity vary between those two types of economy?
What we found very interesting is that within the share of employment that is exposed to AI, both in advanced economies and in low-income countries, roughly half of that exposure is in high complementarity occupations and roughly half is in low complementarity occupations. But the level of exposure to start with is much higher in advanced economies, about double in advanced economies than it is in low-income countries. So also the share of employment that is in high exposure, high complementarity occupations is much lower in low-income countries.
So say I have a high exposure, low complementarity job, and I'm in trouble. That means I would really like to transition to a job with high complementarity. What skills do I need to be able to do that?
We find that there are specific workers' characteristics that are conducive to a smoother transition. Mm-hmm. College-educated workers typically find it easier to transition from jobs with low complementarity to jobs with high complementarity. In general, older workers find it harder to transition to other jobs. So, for example, the probability of re-employment for a person that experienced unemployment within a certain amount of time is considerably higher for younger workers than it is for older workers. This means that also from a policy perspective, there should be measures in place to upskill, retrain workers to find other jobs, but at the same time have enough social safety net to take care of those workers that find it harder to transition to other jobs.
Our companion podcast, Vox Dev Talks, focuses on development. And in the episode, Can Economists Shape the Future of AI? From May 2025, we interviewed David Yanaglizawa-Durot about his work investigating the practical applications of AI in developing economies and whether the technology would widen or close the gap between low and high-income countries. You can find Vox Dev Talks at voxdev.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have also created the AI Preparedness Index. What is this measuring?
The AI Preparedness Index is a number that we associate to each country, and we computed this index for over 140 countries in the world, where we try to capture a number of elements that are important for AI adoption. We build on the literature on technological innovation, but we go a little bit beyond that because we think that the adoption of AI is a deeply multifaceted problem because it entails digital infrastructure, it entails digital skills, an ecosystem that promotes innovation and the integration of technology into the productive processes of an economy, and also a regulatory system that is flexible enough to allow digital innovation to take place, but also that foster the safe and ethical adoption of technology.
Where do you get your data from? How much data are you using?
We use a wide range of indicators that come from a variety of sources, predominantly international organizations, because we need indicators that, on one hand, speak to the issue of preparedness to AI, but at the same time provide a wide enough coverage to be comparable across the countries that we look at. And then our job was to standardize this data, aggregate them, and collapsing them to one single number that we also decompose in certain sub-indicators that may be helpful from a policy perspective.
So you end up with this distribution of preparedness, this cross-country distribution. What does it look like?
In general, we have that North America, Europe, parts of the Asia-Pacific region are the most prepared
Sure.
to AI, while much of Africa, pockets of the Middle East and Latin America are the least prepared, although there is wide heterogeneity within all these regions as well.
It sounds like it's correlated with GDP. Is that true?
It's indeed correlated with the per capita GDP.
Yeah.
And yeah, we have that the advanced economies in general are both the most exposed to AI, but also the countries with the highest level of preparedness, while on the other end of the spectrum, low-income countries are the least exposed to AI, but also the least prepared to AI. And then emerging markets are somewhere in the middle. But here we see a lot of the variation with some emerging markets like China, for example, that have a level of preparedness that is comparable to advanced economies, and some other emerging markets with a level of preparedness that is comparable to a low-income country.
Yes, because you go on from this to combine that exposure data that you have to discover the impact of AI on productivity. Am I correct?
Yes, we look at both the potential impact of AI on productivity. And then also from that, we try to estimate the macroeconomic effects
Right.
from the point of view of GDP, inflation, and other important variables.
Okay. How does your methodology differ from the sorts of estimates we've had so far? And how do your results differ as well?
We certainly build on the existing literature, especially when it comes to our benchmark impact of AI on productivity, because our estimates are comparable to the existing estimates on advanced economies.
Mm-hmm.
Our big value added is having rescaled this benchmark productivity impacts for many different world regions using AI exposure and preparedness as those elements used for the rescaling. And then we plug these estimates into a multi-region, multi-sector model that is in use at the IMF. And then that spits out the macroeconomic impact for the world and for regions of the world.
When you put all this together, what is the macroeconomic impact in low-income countries, which we're thinking about today, compared to advanced economies?
Our headline result is that the GDP growth impact
Yes.
in advanced economies is about double that of low-income countries.
Gosh.
And this is driven primarily by the different exposure and preparedness to AI.
So, Giovanni, does this mean that it is inevitable? It sounds like it is, that advanced economies are going to, at least in the short run, have more benefit from AI than low-income countries.
It is plausible that advanced economies will benefit more, at least in the short to medium term, but it's not inevitable that low-income countries cannot also leverage AI for development, for inclusion, and for growth.
I suppose one way for them to increase the potential benefit is to increase their preparedness, to move up on your preparedness index. What policies are going to increase their preparedness for AI?
Indeed, we find that by increasing the level of preparedness in low-income and emerging market economies, for sure we can narrow the growth impact gap between developing countries and advanced economies, although we find that it is very challenging to close this gap entirely.
Yeah, yes. Because I was thinking a lot of what we think of as AI preparedness is owned by corporations, is provided by the people who are making AI models. And those large tech companies are concentrated in high-income countries. Does this mean that low-income countries will become consumers of AI? And that means probably that they're less likely to be able to take advantage of it?
The market concentration is a feature of the AI industry. And this is particularly evident in the hardware needed for AI. For example, those cutting-edge GPUs that are needed to train advanced AI models. At the same time, we see a lot of developments also in open source models, in algorithm efficiency that allow the training of lower cost models that still have a reasonably good level of performance. And so we see avenues for the industry to expand and to provide tools that may also be used more cheaply by developing countries.
Yeah, that sort of DeepSeek scenario, I guess, is something that holds out hope for emerging economies, low-income countries, that they can maybe, in some cases, use AI to leapfrog advanced economies, to be able to produce some advanced capabilities. Is that practical? Is that possible?
It is possible, and actually it should be leveraged in at least three sectors. I can see that happening with the right infrastructure in place and the right skills in place in sectors like health, yeah, education, mm-hmm, and government services, where there are skill gaps. And so AI, in principle, could fill in some of those gaps.
A hopeful scenario to end with, and we must hope that at least some of that comes true. Thank you very much for talking about this, Giovanni.
Thank you very much for having me.
There are two IMF papers on this topic. The first one is called Gen AI, Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Work. Got a lot of authors, so let's call it Katzaniga et al. It is Staff Discussion Notes 2024, number one. Also, The Global Impact of AI, Mind the Gap. This one, just as many authors actually, so let's call that Charuti et al. It is Working Paper number 76, 2025.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next time on Vox Talks Economics, will working from home stick?